It's time for Good Health, an opportunity to hear from our local healthcare community about the most current medical topics and how they relate to your healthy lifestyle. Good Health is brought to you by Good Shepherd Healthcare System. Now let's welcome our host, Caitlin Kozad.
Good morning and welcome to Good Health Live, brought to you by Good Shepherd Healthcare System. I am your host, Caitlin Kozad, and I have the privilege of introducing our newest physician to join us at Good Shepherd. Joining me this morning is Dr. Riggert. He's a board-certified physiatrist with over 20 years of experience. Dr. Riggert, thank you for joining us this morning and helping our community to get to know you and our new physical medicine and rehabilitation clinic.
Caitlin, it is so great to be with you this afternoon to talk about the wonderful facility that you guys have put together there at Good Shepherd. Thanks for having me today.
Yes, we're very happy to have you here. So Good Shepherd's Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation Clinic is now open at Good Shepherd Healthcare System. It's located at 620 Northwest 11th Street in Hermiston. The clinic is in Suite M102 in the Good Shepherd Medical Plaza, which is our newest building on campus. This is a beautiful physical medicine and rehabilitation clinic with state-of-the-art design and equipment. Dr. Riggert, how has it been being the medical director of such a beautiful facility?
Well, Caitlin, it's an amazing opportunity, and you're right. There is really everything there that you could dream of. We have support for ultrasound for both diagnosis and use in guiding injections. We have a beautiful electrodiagnostic lab to look for things like carpal tunnel and pinched nerves in the back. We have this wonderful working relationship with Dr. Scott, our chiropractor, and just a beautiful physical space to be in. So it's really a wonderful opportunity, and it's been just great to be there.
Yes, I've actually toured it myself. It's very warm and welcoming. And just a great environment to come in and get care. So we're very excited about that at Good Shepherd. So, Dr. Riggert, let's get to know you a bit. What brought you to Good Shepherd Healthcare System to stand up this new service line for the hospital?
Well, in all seriousness, Caitlin, it's the stuffed hash browns. maybe you aren't aware, but your cafeteria has the most amazing stuffed hash browns.
Oh, you're not telling me something I don't already know.
Yeah. No, in all seriousness, though, it's a relationship. We go back with Dr. Anderson, your orthopedist and medical director, for longer than a decade. We were in his office seeing the people of Hermiston, gosh, for 5 years. And then we had to pull out about 5 years ago because of an illness with one of our partners. And so when he reached out last summer and said, hey, there may be an opportunity, we jumped at it. And now it's been about a year, a little bit less than that, that we were working on this. And it's been really nice to be back out there again and enjoy the salad bar and the stuffed hash browns.
I have to say, the stuffed hash browns at Good Shepherd is one of my favorites. You just never know what you're going to get, and you always try whatever's new because it's going to be delightful. So. Oh, we're so glad to have you guys there. So you're a board-certified physiatrist. Tell us what exactly that is that you practice.
Yeah, that's a great question because that's actually changed over the years, and we'll touch on that in a moment. But what I do now mostly is interventional procedures. So if you could imagine a cardiothoracic surgeon used to be the only person you could go to 20 years ago if you had a blockage in your heart, and they would have to cut your chest open and go in and surgically reconnect the vessels. And nowadays, of course, that doesn't happen so often. They do most of those with a stent that's placed through a small vessel, and your heart is accessed through your arm. So in the same way, orthopedics and spine has gone from large surgeries to minimally invasive interventions. And so I'm sort of the interventional cardiologist of the pain set. A lot of things that we could only treat with an open surgery 20 years ago, now we're able to address either diagnostically or palliatively using fluoroscopy or ultrasound. And more we're able to definitively treat problems, and that's just going to be the wave of the future. Less interventions, more impact on people's health and pain.
Absolutely, that makes sense. So where did you complete your residency? How many years have you been practicing physical medicine and rehabilitation?
Yeah, I'm kind of ashamed. It's been almost 30 years. You said more than 20 years, and yeah, it actually has been 30 years.
Wow.
Well, I was born and raised in Gresham, so I was there back when we used to have the horse track in Gresham and pick strawberries as a youth. Went to Oregon Health Sciences University for medical school, and then did my residency down in Los Angeles, and then worked about the country doing various things, and came back here to Hood River. Well, it's been right around the turn of the millennium, so about 20 years ago, and started Columbia Pain Management. And so I've been in the area now for about that long. And since, you know, coming back here, even in those last 20 years, the field has changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started training, it was mostly strokes, spinal cord injury, some brain injury, some non-operative orthopedics. Now it's almost all minimally invasive spine activity and non-operative orthopedic work.
And when you say minimally invasive spinal, maybe you could go a little bit in detail on what that is exactly.
Oh, sure. I mean, a good example would be an individual with has thin bones. They have osteoporosis. And because of that, they get a compression fracture in their spine. Many people have a friend or relative that's had this happen. It's horribly painful, and the pain goes on for quite a long time in some cases before that fracture actually heals. Now we're able to place a small pin into that fracture using an X-ray machine. Because we can see the fracture on the TV, we're able to deliver through that little pin the same kind of glue that they use to glue in an artificial hip and stabilize that fracture. And oftentimes we can use a balloon or a small jack to jack the fracture back up so the person doesn't end up all bent over. And with a small incision that's perhaps half of a pencil width in thickness, achieve all this, and within a couple days the patient's pain is essentially almost gone. So that's just one of examples of the kind of work we do now that used to be a whole different ball game 10, 15 years ago.
Incredible how far it's come. Thank you for explaining that. So what made you choose this field of medicine and why?
Well, it's kind of like the reason we're out in Hermiston. It was a person. When I was up at the medical school in Portland, there was an amazing mentor, a gentleman named Dr. King, who was a physiatrist and introduced me to the field. And at the time, the breadth of what we could do was sort of still yet to be developed, but you could see the potential. And he talked me into studying, and that's why I chose this field, mostly because of Dr. King.
Oh, fantastic. So maybe we could talk a little bit about who's on the team at Good Shepherd's Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation Center. Can you go into some detail about who you are practicing with?
Right, and it does take a team, that's for sure. You know, we're able to bring with us some of our infrastructure, but we have a lot of people behind us. So we have, in our organization, a social worker, an addiction counselor, three other physicians, three mid-levels. So we have a lot of expertise on the Columbia Pain side that we bring with us to Good Shepherd, even though at any given time it's mostly me standing there. I have a great partner in the practice who came on early on, Dr. David Russo, who's my primary go-to support. He's Mayo-trained, one of the great guys that I'm able to work with. And then, you know, already in your facility, we have Dr. Scott, who's able to bring to us a holistic manual medicine care. And there's a great synergy between osteopaths and chiropractors. Dr. Russo does manipulation. Dr. Scott does manipulation. So they all have their secret handshake they do when they run into each other. So we really have a lot there. But, of course, since it's a relatively new program, we're still spinning it all up. So if you walk in on any given day, you may not see all those people there, but they're sort of hiding behind the scenes, ready to be deployed as we need them.
Fantastic. Yeah, I haven't met Dr. Russo yet, but he is also a physiatrist. And Dr. Scott, we've, you know, had at Good Shepherd for many years now, and he is a blessing to us as our chiropractor. So it's a great team, great relationship. So thank you for explaining that. What is the full scope of comprehensive pain management? Maybe you could describe that for us.
Yeah, that's another really good question. It starts with the basics, sort of appreciating the patient as a human and realizing that they're not just an image. You know, you're not just spinal stenosis, so you're not just a nerve injury. What you eat, your lived experience, your support system, how the injury occurred, all those things factor in. So we really, that's one of the things that physiatry taught me. You really have to come at the patient as a person, not as a problem. And I think a good example of that is when the World Health Organization said that, you know, you can have pain even though nothing's happened to you yet. Just the expectation of an adverse event can bring pain. And so that really tells us that the mental health aspect of chronic pain and comprehensive pain management has to be front and center.
Wow, yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. What are some of the most common conditions you can treat?
Yeah, I mean, we see a lot of spinal stenosis, which is narrowing of the tube that the nerves go through from your brain down through to your legs. That's a common one that we're able to do great things with. It's one of those things that early on, you know, we really were able to just inject with an epidural and make things better for a period of time. But now more and more we're able to go in and remove a little bit of tissue under fluoroscopy and permanently address the condition and the pain that comes with it. Sometimes we're able to install a small spacer in the narrow area and reduce the stenosis so the symptoms go away. So spinal stenosis is a big one, very common in the elderly. It's the person that the farther they walk, the more their thighs ache, and then they sit down, they get better, and then they walk and their thighs ache again. So that's what's called neurogenic claudication. That's very common. We do see a lot of the spinal compression fractures as our population gets older. Osteoporosis is fairly common. So we do quite a bit of the cement augmentation that we talked about earlier. Another common presentation is back surgery that's sort of quit working. So I had a very successful back surgery 10 years ago, but now things have progressed and it hurts again. Do I have to have another surgery? So we address those people with sometimes radiofrequency ablation, which means cauterizing the little nerves that are transmitting the pain. Or we'll install what we call a pain pacemaker, which kind of looks like a heart pacemaker, has a little battery and a little wire, except the wire goes into the area of the spinal cord near the surgery and it blocks out the pain using electricity and this fancy computer algorithm. So those are probably three of our more common home runs. We also do things like botulism toxin for migraines and nerve blocks for carpal tunnel and tarsal tunnel and all those other things that pain management clinics do.
Wow, yeah, it sounds very comprehensive. A lot of that is over my head, but thank you for explaining all of that.
So if it didn't make sense to you, it may not make sense to our listeners. So if there's a part that wasn't explained in the right terminology, please ask me to expand.
Oh, no, it sounds like you know very well what you're talking about.
Okay.
What are some of the telltale signs that an individual has a condition a physiatrist can help address?
You know, if pain has gone on for longer than about 3 months, it's probably getting to be pain that's lost its utility, lost its meaning. And that's what chronic pain is, right? It's pain that is stuck on and won't go off, but it isn't really giving you the right message anymore. Pain has a great reason for being there, and it's to tell you to, you know, quit running so your ankle can heal. Mm-hmm. But if the pain stays there, typically for longer than about 12 weeks, it means that the pain switch has been left on and the original injury may very well have already healed. So usually when you get to around the three-month mark, it's time that you would consider talking to someone like myself. and developing a list of possibilities of what's going on. Is this something I can work through? Is it something working through will be good for? Can I change my exercise program and expect this to get better? Or is there really something going on here that we need to address? So I'd say really any pain that goes on for longer than about 12 weeks, you're a candidate to have a discussion with somebody in my field.
Well, that's a fantastic benchmark. And it sounds like you really work with your patients to accomplish their goals. And I can really appreciate that, to really be able to meet them on their level and help them through that. So that's fantastic. What procedures do you provide in our surgery department that benefits your patients?
Yeah, I'm going to back up just a second because you brought up patients' goals, and that is a really important piece because not everybody's goal is just to reduce their pain. A lot of times people are okay with their pain, but they can't get back to their job or their sport. And it's real important for us to understand exactly what the patient is after, or we could pursue the wrong things. So thanks for pointing that out. In terms of procedures, you know, in the office suite, we have some really nice tools there, and I kind of touched on that earlier. A lot of our ultrasound-guided activity takes place in the office, actually. So, for instance, you know, it used to be you had to have an MRI to diagnose a rotator cuff tear. We can do a nice diagnostic shoulder exam under ultrasound now that's almost as sensitive and specific as an MRI in many cases, depending on body habitus. So we have some nice tools there. And then when you get to the more advanced procedures that require fluoroscopy or a sterile environment, we're taking things like spine injections and nerve ablations and device implantation to the operating room, and that would be things like your compression fracture that needs the glue, or the surgery that isn't working so well and needs the pain pacemaker, or a knuckle joint in your back that has arthritis and it's creating pain, and we want to ablate the little nerve that transmits the pain signal from that joint up to your brain so it can't hurt anymore. That's called radiofrequency ablation. So those things have to be done in a special environment with special equipment and a sterile field. But a lot of the other things we can do in the office itself.
That's incredible to know that you're so well prepared just in the office to do a lot of those procedures. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So maybe you could define this. What is the age range of patients that you can help?
Yeah, of course, you know, the seniors tend to collect a lot of the fleas and ticks that we've been talking about, the spinal stenosis, the arthritis, the surgery that was done in their 50s that now isn't serving them so well in their 70s, and maybe they don't want another big surgery. So we certainly spend a lot of time with our seniors. Then there's sort of the middle part, which oftentimes is the aging athlete trying to keep it going, or the aging worker who's trying to keep it going in a physically demanding job. We see the younger set, you know, in the 20s because they tend to hurt themselves in their sporting activities. The guys especially sometimes tend to overdo it because of the testosterone poisoning. And then, of course, you know, we see the kids more often these days because of the way they deal with their sports. It used to be you were a three- or a four-sport athlete. Now, if you want to be good, you're a one-sport athlete, and you might be pitching year-round, and so we see those elbows in 16-year-old kids that we weren't seeing 15 years ago. So it tends to be in the younger set, athletic injuries. Of course, we see a smattering of congenital issues and such. We actually, you know, being in a rural area, we realize that there aren't a lot of resources sometimes, and so we'll see very young kids, but then typically we're working on coordination with Dornbecker, Shriners, that type of thing, because none of us are specifically trained as pediatric physiatrists. That's its own specialty unto itself.
I see. Well, that helps a lot. Thank you. And so we talked about Dr. Christopher Scott before, but maybe you could go a little more in depth on you know, what his role is in our patient's care and what your collaboration together can accomplish.
Yeah, that's really a good question. And it speaks to the point that you don't want to see the patient as just a problem. So you really want to bring in your complementary care, and we're hopeful that over time we'll be able to bring acupuncture on as well. So your acupuncture, your chiropractic are great ways to do body work and make people feel better, both mentally and physically, without having to do something more dramatic. Because let's be honest, the only procedure that's minor is actually on somebody other than yourself. And then don't underestimate the synergy of having different specialties co-located. I think we've missed that a lot over the last year because of the COVID, where we don't see our other colleagues so much in the doctor's lounge, and we don't see them at the monthly continuing medical education talk. So just being able to go over difficult cases with somebody like Dr. Scott when you're in the hallway, sort of ad hoc, adds a huge amount to the value of the clinic. And so I'm hopeful we can continue to make that tent bigger over
Absolutely.
Time.
And that's great to hear. So what can a patient expect when they decide they need to seek help for their pain? And maybe you could walk us through from start to finish what a patient would see when they come to Good Shepherd Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation Clinic.
Typically, our patients are referred by another doctor. So, you know, they may bring it up with their doctor, their doctor may bring it up with them. And, of course, we look at all those referrals and make sure that we're able to address the problem the person has before we actually call them in. One of the kind of odd things about a pain clinic is you'll be asked to fill out what's called a pain diagram. So you'll be given this piece of paper that has a picture of the human body, and you'll be asked to draw your pain. And some people will use colored pencils, some people will stick with the X's and O's, but it turns out that you really should spend some time on that drawing, because that's actually, despite all the money we spend on MRIs and CT scans, a pain diagram is one of the best validated tools that we have in our toolkit to help diagnose your pain. So when you're given that pain diagram, spend some time on it. And then, of course, the rest of the visit's fairly standard, but you might, you know, think it's odd that we're asking you about what you eat or your hormonal status or what your goals are, because you're just there because your back hurts and you just want to know what's wrong. But we tend to poke around a little more around the edges, part of that sort of comprehensive piece we touched on earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing we're finding now is that a lot of people have seen their doctor virtually a lot over the last year, and perhaps they've not actually had a physical exam in a while. So we're starting to find, you know, odd things, skin growths and things that have been overlooked. So we're really asking people to be patient and undress for the physical exam so we can get a look at all of them. And again, the patient may say, well, you know, I'm here for my ankle. Why do you want to look at the skin on my back? We're just trying to be more complete, because a lot of people haven't had a full physical exam in a while. So those are some of the things that you might notice if you walk into our clinic. But do pay attention to that pain diagram. We really like to look at that.
Well, that's fantastic. It sounds like you really do take care of the whole person, which I can definitely appreciate. So what are the clinic's hours of operation at this time? How does a patient make an appointment?
Yeah, so I'm there currently every other Friday from 8 until 5. Dr. Scott's there 3 days a week. The staff is there otherwise, bright and smiling, if you were to walk in the door. Mm-hmm. And then there's a phone number, you know, 541-667 3832, and usually Mads will pick up the phone, and or it might be Carrie, and say, physical medicine rehabilitation, how can we help? So that's kind of the nuts and bolts of it. Most of my appointments out in Good Shepherd are occurring on Fridays right now, though.
All right. Fantastic. So you kind of touched on this earlier, but maybe you could clarify it again. So will you accept walk-ins at the clinic, and or does an individual have to have a referral?
Yeah, right now we're asking for patients to have a referral. The beauty of your integrated medical record system is we can look through everything and really familiarize ourselves with what we might need to do and make sure that we're prepared to do what we need to do and ask the right questions before you even get there. And to really spin that process up, it takes a referral. So we're asking right now that people come through their primary or their orthopedist or their pediatrician or their internist by referral.
Absolutely, yeah. We have a lot of primary care providers available at Good Shepherd, and it's a great place to start to talk with your doctor about your needs and see if physical medicine or rehabilitation is the right fit for you. And I do know that Dr. Scott, our chiropractor, he does accept walk-ins, but otherwise, for any other services at the clinic, you would need to have a referral. So do you see more men than women patients typically? And what age do individuals start having the sort of problems you can care for?
Yeah, you know, I'd say it's about 50-50, but men and women come in for different things. Honestly, it's the guys tend to get injured sports or on the job more often.
Mm-hmm.
And the women tend a little more towards fibromyalgia, those conditions that sort of accidentally turn the pain system on and can't get it turned off. So there's a different presentation, but we see about 50-50. And, you know, I'd say the great bulk of our patients are between the ages of 40 on up.
Okay.
We see disc herniations and meniscal tears and ACL injuries in the young sporty person, but usually you got to get to be about 40 before something really just wears out from everyday use. So that's kind of our demographic.
Okay. And can you give us an example of a great patient success story?
Great patients. Yeah, I'm going to reach back to a lady that I saw in referral from a chiropractor. She had three compression fractures in her spine that happened right around the time of the COVID, almost a year ago. And she did really poorly over the summer. And her chiropractor realized that she was having trouble and realized what was going on. But because of the COVID, she wasn't able to access definitive care. If you remember, there was a period of time there where the hospitals and the surgery centers were really being directed towards the COVID. And mm-hmm. average stuff like a compression fracture, we couldn't get them into the operating room.
Mm-hmm.
She came to us as a referral around last September and was really miserable. Her poor husband was beside himself. She had been sleeping in her recliner since all this happened, hadn't been up the stairs, had only done sponge baths. And we were able to, with the help of a lot of others, of course, imaging and what have you, we were able to get her definitive treatment for her compression fractures, and that pain resolved. And we were able to get her definitive treatment for her osteoporosis, which involved an infusion of a medication to build her bones up. Typically, that would have been done, you know, in Portland somewhere at an infusion center. But again, because everything was sort of wrapped up from the COVID, we were able to do that on a local level. And she is just now about a year out doing great. And they say that you really only have to fix about 10 or 15 compression fractures to save a life, because people just do die from those things if they aren't treated. And I really feel like she's one of those that we were able to, you know, bring the team and this technology to bear and probably save her life. And she's doing quite well now, and her bones are building up, so she won't have another fracture.
Incredible. It's a great story and something to hopefully inspire folks, you know, if they're dealing with, you know, great pain and you know, have needs at that level, that they can come see you guys. So what are some of your team's best practices for taking great care of your patients while they are at the physical medicine and rehabilitation clinic?
Yeah, I think that really goes back to the mission, which is, you know, treating people as a whole. So I think we touched on some of this, but, you know, understanding what the patient's goals are and understanding, is it really the compression fracture that we're seeing on the image that's the great bulk of the problem, or is it there's no grab bars in the bathroom, and we're at risk for falling again and getting another fracture even if you fix this one. So going a little deeper in through what we call the physiatric approach, the comprehensive approach, is really the sine qua non of our best practice. You know, looking at the function, looking at the impediments, not just looking at the image. Well, that's part of it because we do a lot of surgery, but how does that fit into the person's life? You really have to take that into account. And, you know, there's so many times that someone will come in and, you know, they'll want PRP or bone marrow into their knee because they have an ACL issue. And, you know, I'll counsel them away from it because it's not what they need because their goal just doesn't really fit the therapy that they're seeking. And a lot of times what they need is something less invasive than more. And that's really the key is do enough, but, oh, my gosh, don't do too much. And if there's medicine necessary, use just enough, but don't use too many and too much, especially in the elderly, because we live in a time where you can do great harm with medicine. You have to be very careful not to wield it like that.
It's so true. Absolutely. So I heard that... you know, maybe in the future this might be something that we could bring to Good Shepherd, but tell us about regeneration procedures.
Oh, yeah, I sort of broached that a second ago. Really what that means is all these tools we talked about, the ultrasound and the fluoroscopy, instead of injecting something or like a steroid or cauterizing something or putting in a device, instead... you can take some of the patient's own biologic material, and often it's like platelets out of the blood or bone marrow out of the pelvis, and you can process that material and then very precisely inject it into a tear in a tendon, for instance, a small tear in the rotator cuff, and you can do that under ultrasound, so you can actually see the tear on the television. And you can see your needle going into the tear on the television, and then you can deliver their biologic material into their problem directly and force a healing response. So it sounds sophisticated, but it's really kind of a hack. It's the same material that your body uses to heal you when you cut yourself. You get a scab, right?
Right.
And in that scab are little messengers that tell the cells to divide and heal. And we're just kind of hacking that scab. We're throwing away all the blood and other juice and saving the signaling material in your blood, concentrating it actually using a lab process, and then injecting it into some part of your body that has a problem and forcing a healing response.
Wow.
So we do quite a bit of that. It's, you know, we were actually one of the first big providers of that type of therapy in the Pacific Northwest. There's quite a few now, and it's become a bit the Wild West. So you have to be a little careful if you go on the internet and boot this stuff up under Google. So if any of you are all thinking about, you know, quote-unquote stem cells or royal jelly or some of these other things that you see on the internet, you might come by and talk to us just briefly to kind of understand the lay of the land, because you can fall into hands that maybe you shouldn't be in, because there are some things going on out there that are a little wild west at this point. It's not very well regulated.
Oh, I'm sure we can imagine.
Yep.
Well, anything else you want our community to know about you and Good Shepherd's Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation Center?
Well, I think it's important to know that we're there, that we're comprehensive, and that we're growing. And I would hope that people are excited about this resource and that we can make use of it to do good for the community. So if you have one of these pains that's gone on for a while, or you have one of the conditions that we've talked about here today, I would hope that you would reach out and get a referral and come visit with us. And just remember to bring your colored pencils for that pain diagram.
Well, fabulous. It's time to wrap up Good Health today. I just want to thank you, Dr. Riggert, for joining us and for sharing all of this great information with our community. We are so happy to have you as part of the Good Shepherd family, and we look forward to the amazing work you will do and the difference that you can make in our patients' lives.
Well, thanks for having me, Gil, and it's been great fun chatting.
Again, this is Good Health Live, brought to you by Good Shepherd Healthcare System, and we just heard from Dr. Riggert. He's a board-certified physical medicine and rehabilitation physiatrist with over 20 years of experience, almost 30, he said. And he's now our medical director of the Good Shepherd Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation Clinic. It's a comprehensive, full-service pain management clinic. Dr. Riggert, thank you so much for joining us this morning and for helping our community get to know you. If you would like to make an appointment for a consultation with Dr. Riggert, please call 541-667-3832. And you can visit our website for more information at www.gshealth.org. This is Good Health Live, brought to you by Good Shepherd Healthcare System in the KOHU studio. Thank you for joining us, and be well.